Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Let's start with an article from Upfront Go and AARP, the magazine. Chef Specials. How do you find a good restaurant while traveling? Try these tips from the kitchen. Hit a farmer's market. Across dozens of stalls, markets give you a sense of community's food scene. As you browse, talk to the vendors. They often supply restaurants and are likely to know which are the best, says Richard Crespin, executive chef of the Kempton Rowan Palm Springs Hotel in California. Check reservation sites. Skip TripAdvisor and Yelp. You'll likely find better restaurants recommendations on reservation sites such as OpenTable and Resy, says Chef Janos Wilder, owner of Studio Janos in Tucson, Arizona. From a chef's perspective, more serious diners leave reviews on reservation sites, he said. Ask your server. When you're at a restaurant, ask your server where you should eat next. Once I was in New Orleans, and I asked the waiter what his favorite spot to eat authentic local food was, said Chef Mandy Dixon, owner-manager of Tutka Bay Lodge and La Baleen Cafe in Homer, Alaska. He didn't say much at first, but then came by later and slipped me a folded-up piece of paper. Written on it was his favorite ribs joint. And follow the locals. Dixon visits TikTok or Instagram and searches for keywords such as best brunch in New Orleans or best soup Seattle for short videos with recommendations. Thomas Melville, executive chef at Vita in Indianapolis, says word of mouth is, in my opinion, still the best recommendation. Then, hands off, what to wear to keep valuables safe on trips. The first rule of foiling thieves when traveling, always carry everything in front of you. So advises travel influencer Johnny Jett, adding, never use a backpack or have your stuff behind you or in a back pocket. Jett, real name John Descala, who runs the JohnnyJett.com travel site, suggests these items. A pocketed jacket or vest. I have a jacket that has 20-plus pockets, with pockets inside and outside. There's a spot for just about anything. iPads, passports, sunglasses, a bottle of water, and more. Or crossbody purse. It sits diagonally across your body with the bag in front. Get a purse with a stainless steel-based strap. People can come up behind you and slash a regular strap. Money belt. This standby is a great option, like a thin fanny pack you wear under clothing. Safe wallet. A wallet that blocks radio frequency identification, RFID technology, thwarts thieves' gadgets that can read your credit card's information. Now this one, a race like no other. Now this has already taken place, but here's some interesting facts. The Kentucky Derby celebrates its 150th annual running at Louisville's Churchill Downs, and it was Saturday, May 4th. And here's some things you may not have known. More than 125,000 mint juleps are consumed at Churchill Downs over 2 days, Friday's Kentucky Oaks Day and Saturday's Derby Day. Picking the winner used to be easier. The smallest field was 3 horses in 1892 and 1905. In modern times, the race routinely starts with 20 in the field. How much money is bet on Derby Day? In 2023, a record $288.7 million was wagered across 14 races. The best betting payday for a winner was in 1913, when Donerail went off at 91-1. Horse racing is called the sport of kings, but it has attracted presidents, too. Richard Nixon went to the Derby while in office. 8 former or soon-to-be presidents have also attended the race. And finally, the winning horse in the Run for the Roses gets a garland of red roses. It takes more than 400 flowers to make the fancy accessory. Now, let's go back to AARP, the bulletin, and we were talking about fraud and how it affects us today. Let's look at new ways to verify who you are. Emerging fraud-fighting technologies make it easier to separate imposters from actual customers. And this is by Chuck Morris. Here's a scary thought. There are now so many criminal breaches of consumer information databases that they rarely even make the news anymore. In 2023, there were more than 3,200 major database breaches, 78% more than the previous year, according to Identity Theft Resource Center. Given this, it's wise to assume that much of your personal information is available to criminals. It's well documented that there is a thriving open market for personal information on the dark web, where the credit card numbers, social security numbers, and other personal data of countless Americans are bought and sold for surprisingly small amounts of cash. So the real question is, how can criminals be prevented from using that data? Or more precisely, how can financial institutions, retailers, and others we transact business with know whether it is us contacting them and not an imposter? There are increasingly hopeful answers to these questions. Here is just a small sampling of private businesses developing and deploying new technologies to thwart criminals who might be trying to impersonate you. Verifying your phone. A typical fraud would have a criminal armed with your account numbers and personal info calling your bank or other financial account holders and impersonating you to get access to your money. Digital security companies such as Prove have come up with a clever way to identify imposters by using the customer's phone to help verify their identity. The system will ping the phone's SIM card to verify with the carrier that it's you at the other end of the transaction. It also checks how long the phone has been operational and the trustworthiness of the carrier to determine whether the phone is actually yours or if it's a burner using a cloned number. A new tool from the company uses your phone to pre-fill some of the information on an application via a secure handshake. We connect those dots to answer the question, is the applicant validating their own information, said Mary Ann Miller, Fraud and Cybercrime Executive Advisor and Vice President of Client Experience at Prove. Scoring the likelihood you are actually you. Other companies, including CentenLink, work a bit further in the background when helping financial institutions determine if someone applying for an account or a monetary withdrawal is who they say they are. The company scans about 1 million applicants per day. Roughly 10,000 of those are attempts at identity theft, with nearly one-fifth of the targets being 65 or older. Using a machine learning algorithm that factors in countless bits of data and takes less than a second to run, CentiLink will provide a score on the likelihood that the request transaction is fraudulent. The higher the score, the better the chances it's a bad actor. That sends up a red flag to the financial institution, which can request further information or pause the transaction. Identifying you by your patterns. BioCatch, an international tech company, has developed a proprietary algorithm that's based not on devices or location, but on the way you enter information and access your accounts on a day-to-day basis. Take your bank account, for instance. Some people check it once or twice a week, scanning to see if deposits or payments went through. They log in, typically either via the financial institution's app or on a browser on their desktop. They type in their information in a certain cadence, with a certain amount of time spent between key presses and certain swipe patterns on their phone. All of that creates a behavioral profile. When someone logs into the account and it goes against the normal profile, BioCatch alerts the financial institution. The bank or credit card company could then confront the person logged in to the account, asking for a one-time password, which is sent to the rightful account owner's phone. Ensuring your voice is your own. Not long ago, you could at least trust that financial partners you'd dealt with before would recognize your voice. But artificial intelligence can create a virtually undetectable clone of your voice that can discuss any topic using just a short audio clip lifted from social media, a speech, or a phone conversation. PenDrop, an information security company, monitors the audio traffic of banks and other financial institutions, insurers, and call centers, authenticating whether the voices of customers are real. The company has analyzed more than 5.3 billion calls, detecting over 100 million spoofing attempts. According to PenDrop, that has stopped $2 billion in fraud losses. The company uses AI and machine learning technology to perform risk analysis of calls and interactive voice response technologies to ensure the caller is who they say they are. It's all done in real time and doesn't slow down your legitimate interactions with your bank as you're trying to do business. Creating a digital identity. Coming up with quick ways for businesses to be sure no one is stealing your identity is becoming a critical need. Blue Inc., a Canadian company, has launched a technology called EIDME, which means that company's stringent identity verification standards. For consumers, it's an easy process. Take a selfie while you're at home and scan your ID, then submit them for approval. That information is encrypted, and the company compares your live selfie with your ID photo and the address on your ID with your phone's location. Once those are confirmed, a certificate is bound to your phone and can only be unlocked on that phone. U.S. companies such as Plaid offer a similar service, completing identity verification in less than 10 seconds, with support for more than 16,000 types of IDs from 200 companies, countries and territories. Warning you of a scam attack. What many of us need is a digital watchdog that never sleeps or gets distracted. Identity Guard works with IBM Watson, a supercomputer, to help prevent identity theft. The company charges a monthly fee to customers who sign up for its services and will send near real-time email and text alerts when there's a threat to infiltrate your credit or break into your bank accounts, as well as if your personal information is misused. The service will monitor your home title to be sure nothing suspicious, such as new names being added to it or yours removed, and your personal credit history to ensure identity thieves don't end up with credit cards or loans in your name. If you become a victim after signing up for the services, the company's agents will work with you to resolve the problem, and you're covered with a $1 million in protection from identity theft. This article was written by Craig Morris, who's a journalist who writes about evolving technology for Fortune, Fast Company, and other news organizations. Now, how about a health article? The what's and ways of protein supplements. Skip the pre-made drinks and bars and top off your tank with this. As we hit middle age, we start to have more difficulty turning the protein we eat into muscle. Adults who don't engage in regular strength training can lose 4 to 5 pounds of muscles per decade, reports Harvard Medical School. But by exercising regularly and boosting your protein intake throughout the day, you can slow and even reverse this process, says Kyle Timmerman, Associate Professor of Kinesiology, Nutrition, and Health at Miami University. Adequate protein intake helps maintain muscle mass and reduces the risks of falls, fractures, frailty, and loss of independence in older adults, he says. A 2023 study of more than 800 healthy people in their 80s found that among those who are independent and active, protein intake is associated with a reduced risk of all-cause mortality. Most older adults consume 60 to 70 grams per day, says Donna Lehman, professor emeritus at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. That's not enough. Target getting at least 90 grams per day, he says. The easiest way is protein supplements. Why powders are best? Though pre-made protein drinks and bars are more convenient than powders, you just opening to consume, they're generally ultra-processed foods, often containing plenty of sugar and other additives. Some popular brands, for example, can have nearly twice as many ingredients when they come as a pre-made drink instead of a powder. And bars can have as many grams of sugar as they have protein. A scoop of whey protein powder delivers about 25 grams of protein, depending on the brand, with far fewer additives. What kind of protein? The particular powder to look for is whey protein powder, W-H-E-Y, which is derived from milk. One review in the journal Nutrients found that whey appears to be better and stimulating muscle growth in older adults than either plant proteins or casein, another milk-based product. Pre-made liquids are okay options for older people, Lehman says, but I would recommend buying whey protein powder and mixing that into milk or yogurts or even into oatmeal. You can add flavored whey powder to anything from pancake mix to cookie dough. Unflavored whey powder can boost soups, mashed potatoes, or even scrambled eggs. Find the right whey. There are two main types of whey, concentrate and isolate. The whey isolate has been stripped of the milk's lactose and fat, so it's up to 95% pure protein. It's best for those looking for more protein without more calories, says Gabriel Lyon, founder of the Institute for Muscle-Centric Medicine and author of Forever Strong. Because the natural sugars that have been taken out, it's the best option for those who are lactose intolerant. Whey concentrate, on the other hand, is typically more caloric dense and also contains carbohydrates and fat, Lyon says, so it's the best choice for people who are looking to keep their weight up, a common problem for people in their later decades. Regardless of which you choose, search for a product with the fewest ingredients possible. Make sure the very first ingredient listed on the label is whey protein. And lastly, supplement, don't replace. Many stores have adult nutrition aisles where protein supplements are sold as meal replacements. But these are ultra-processed foods and often too low in protein, said Stuart Phillips, director of the Physical Activity Center of Excellence at McMaster University. Referring to one popular meal replacement drink, Phillips points out, the number one ingredient on the label is water. Number two is maltodextrin, which is a highly processed starchy powder. I would not recommend them as a true meal replacement. My mom asked me about these, and I told her to get some yogurt, Phillips said. You've got a blender, throw some blueberries in, some yogurt, a little protein powder. That's all you need. Now I have an article for those of you who don't like to mow your lawn. Mow no more. Why do the hard work when a robot will graze your lawn? Oh, the dread of summer Saturdays. Here in steamy South Carolina, that's where the author is from, but it works here in North Carolina too, no matter how early I endeavor to cut the grass, a sweaty mess is the inevitable result. Not to mention, this chore only gets tougher as the years pass. I've come to the opinion that life's too short to spend it pushing a loud, noxious machine up and down my little tract of land. If only I could sit back and let the mower do all the work. I can? Wait? What? For nearly two decades, many American households have used robots to vacuum and, in some cases, mop the floors. But only now are self-guided lawnmowers emerging as the it tech tool to ease wear and tear on our bones and joints. Bonus, Because a robot doesn't get tired, as I do, it takes a pass across the plot daily, keeping the mass of green a uniform length and keeping the homeowner association off my back for overgrown blades. Meet Larry. That's the name I gave it, the lawn bot I bought. This one is manufactured by Wartz, W-O-R-Z. Other popular manufacturers are Greenworks, Husqvarna, and Gardena. Working with Larry is a bit different from doing this job myself. First off, of course, I don't have to do the job myself, nor do I have to pay a neighborhood kid to come over and perform mediocre work. Larry chugs along while I take a load off. Second, he's remarkably quiet. We've all been annoyed by the roar of a traditional mower waking us up early on a weekend morning. Now I'm the good neighbor. Larry can go about his business any time, day or night, without disturbing the rest of the street. What are the dangers? Cleaning floors is one thing, but a robot wielding sharp blades? Are we inviting doom? The short answer is no. If someone passes by and is foolish enough to pick up the mower in operation, it instantly shuts down. Should someone seek to abscond with the device, it locks up and won't start again until the proper passcode is entered. It's important to note that there are two types of robot mowers, those that operate within a boundary wire and those that don't require a physical pin. It's probably best to avoid boundary wire models. The idea was to ensure that the mower wouldn't mow past a designated area, but it takes hours to set up the perimeter, and the wire will inevitably get damaged at some point, requiring you to locate the problem and splice the wire back together. Most manufacturers are moving away from using boundary wires in newer models, as advanced technology allows your yard to be mapped without it. Smartphone apps allow for proper device management. Another difference between human and robot is cutting patterns. Like anyone who has pushed a lawnmower, I would accomplish the task with methodical back-and-forth movement and glory afterwards in my straight lines. Larry prefers to meander the yard in a random pattern, but one that always results in a good cut. He's saving me work, so I don't micromanage. When Larry encounters a perimeter, he turns to avoid it. I set up magnetic boundaries around flower beds and such to train him not to mow there. Pets are another issue, although a small one. They might be curious at first, but my dog has learned to ignore and avoid this mechanical meanderer. How does the robot empty the bag? It doesn't. It mulches the grass instead. Because it cuts daily, there's never any need to worry about excess clippings. It's a kind of like shaving every day versus getting intermittent haircuts. Unless it's raining, in that case, the mower detects water and returns to its charging station. Here's the thing. A robot mower may be a workhorse and never complain about it, but all that work will cost you. Prices range from $700 for the boundary wire models to $1,500 or even up to $2,500. That's multiple times the cost of a basic Toro or Cub Cadet, though comparable to a lawn tractor. There are a few neighbors who might scoff at all of this, thinking I'm lazy, but I'm willing to suffer their judgment, especially for my health. Avoiding exertion in extreme heat is increasingly important as I get older. I do get the benefits of fresh air from time to time. Larry is similar to human lawn service in that his work isn't perfect. I still need to put in a bit of manual labor to get a clean edge along the sidewalks. That just takes a few minutes, though. Then I'm free to go about enjoying my weekend, while those scornful neighbors glare at me and soak through another shirt. This article by Chris Morris covers personal tech and has also written for Far East companies, CNBC, Fortune, and other outlets. Well, we'll just have time to get started on the AARP Guide to Modern Problems and Their Solutions, 2024 edition. We tapped top pros to take on today's most common health, money, home, and tech issues. It's been a year and a half since we last tackled some of life's most vexing struggles. And in that time, what do you know? New challenges have emerged. So again, we have sought the guidance of dozens of professionals to help us all take some of the stress out of 2024, whether it's home life, personal tech, healthcare, money management, travel, or so many other types of modern problems. Health, product peril. Every week there's another grocery recall product. What can I do so I don't eat something I shouldn't? Foodborne illness sickens an estimated 48 million Americans each year, and people who have compromised immune systems or are over the age of 65 are at higher risk. Food is recalled because of lack of food allergy warnings on labels or the presence of foreign materials like plastics or pathogens like salmonella. To stay informed on the latest recalls, visit foodsafety.gov or download the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Keeper app on your phone. And if you use a loyalty card at your grocery store, make sure your email address is up to date. Retailers often use this information to notify customers when they bought a recalled product. Too many meds. My pharmacy sets my prescriptions to autofill. This causes problems with prescriptions being filled before I need them or not ready when I want them. How can I manage this? Autofill programs are intended to help you remember to pick up prescriptions and shorten wait times for a refill. But if you have too large a supply at home, turn off autofill online or through your pharmacy app or by talking to your pharmacist. Of course, you're not obligated to pick up a prescription that has been filled for you. So, if you have too much or if you are instructed to stop taking a medication, the pharmacy can return the prescription to stock and you won't be charged. I see people carrying huge water bottles. Is there new guidelines on how much water to drink? Everybody wants to be told the elusive magic amount that's going to make us all healthy, but charts aren't one size fits all. We can usually trust our bodies. When you need water, you get thirsty. And 99.69% of the time, if we overdrink, we pee a lot. Also, while people want to measure their intake of plain water, it's the water molecules that count, whether it's in soups or watermelon or tea. Well, folks, we have once again run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.